Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that's interesting. Praise the Lord. And I'd like to welcome you to LiveDeliverance.com. We had a technical glitch right there. And here is Blog Talk Radio on LiveDeliverance.com, on BlogTalkRadio.com. This is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. I remind you that if you're listening to us via the simulcast during the hours of 9 and 11 o'clock p.m. on Monday, we're glad to have you. But if you're listening to us on any other social media platform or during any other times of the day during the week, please contact us here at LiveDeliverance.com with the times, the dates, and the locations. Although we would love to proliferate the airways, we must do it legally, ethically, and in righteousness. So if you hear any of our content through any other means, it is the result of Internet piracy and copyright infringement. And all those who participate in any Internet piracy can be persecuted by federal agents. And having said all that, we can now get down to the business of the kingdom. So go ahead and get a pen and some paper so that if you have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight, when we get to the end of the broadcast, we will give you an opportunity to ask those questions or make those comments. So now if you would join your hearts with me in a word of prayer as we sanctify our time together. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit, that healing and deliverance break forth in this place and this time because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more, that we would be able to walk in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So we ask you to speak to our spirit and birth victory in our spirit and in our hearts, in our minds, as we now allow the Spirit of God to teach us those things that are necessary for this time in our lives. We give you the name, the honor, the glory, and the praise for it, asking it to be done in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, beloved, this is, I believe, part six of Faith on the Move and Grace in Action. And we just want to kind of do a little review to set it up, because sometimes we have people that are listening to this particular session for the first time, and so they didn't hear parts one through five. And again, if you want to go back and listen at them, you can just simply go to the website and open up under the Blog Talk session. Look up Pastor Steve Lee, and then you can open up all of the archives that are available. Parts one through five would be there, and any of the other things that have been recorded for your edification. I mean, we've been doing this for quite some time now to allow God to take us to the next level. And that's why I want to talk about faith that's on the move and grace in action, because as believers, we need to be prepared so that as we wrap up these last days, as we connect ourselves with God to get the things done that he wants to get done in the earth. The Bible tells us in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14, that the whole earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, the same way the waters cover the sea. Well, in order for that to happen, we're going to have to do our part. And it's very hard for us to do our part if we think that we are not qualified or we don't have the ability to make statements that come to pass. You know, we think that, well, God's not really listening to me, or maybe I'm not good enough, or maybe I haven't became worthy enough. See, all of that needs to be removed from our thinking so that we can walk in victory. God did not save us so that we can walk in defeat, so that we can walk beneath our privileges. But we're the ones that's going to have to wake up to the purpose of God, A, to the calling of God because of that purpose in our lives. See, he promised that we would be the head and not the tail, that we would be above only and not beneath. See, so with the understanding of that, we need to participate in the plan of God, and because allowing it to flow, if you would. Okay? It's time out for the believers to be stumbling and bumbling, fearful and frustrated. It's time out for that. We have been given a promise, and at the same time we've been given promise, beloved, we were given destiny. Amen. God had you born at this time for a purpose. Amen. If you look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, from 10 to 20, read it. Actually, I would like for you to kind of like highlight it in your Bible, come to the place where it's etched on your heart, because it says that God is going to show himself strong in our behalf. Let's listen to what it says here in Ephesians chapter 3. Okay, I just want you to notice this. This is what Paul said we should prepare for, that we should have expectation for. Okay? In verse 9, he says that, verse 8, Paul was talking, he said, unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints. Okay, well, let's let Paul talk about it here. Paul says, you know, I ain't no big deal here. And I know some of the stuff about me that you don't think about. Paul says, because I think of myself as the chief sinner. Y'all just rookies. Paul said, I'm the chief sinner. Okay? I know what I used to think, but I'm going to show you how the grace of God overcomes what I used to be. The grace of God is, this is the grace that's in action. See? He made a stand in this grace, it says in Romans chapter 5, that we have to stand in the grace. See? So then he wants you to prepare as you stand there, as you become aware of what God has said about you. God is not really concentrating on what you did, because the blood covers that. Why would he be concentrating on something that's already covered, already forgiven? Why would he be concentrating on that? That's the enemy trying to keep you from moving into the grace where you were called, from moving into the peace where you were called. Again, I said it last week. We say it as a Christmas greeting, but it was more than a Christmas greeting. It was an announcement. When the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, he says that it's peace on earth. Peace be established on earth. You look back in Isaiah chapter 9, and he said that the government, the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. This is talking about Jesus, who's the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. See, the wonderful counselor. It says that there will be no end to his government, to the structure that he has, to the kingdom that he establishes. No end to the peace that he grants. So then when he was born, the angels declared, and they said, peace on earth now, because he's here. This is the baby in the manger. Peace on earth and goodwill towards men. The goodwill was so that you could enjoy it. It was goodwill towards men. Peace It's now only God's not mad at you. Okay? So then what he wants to have you to be established in is the peace that's toward men. Okay? So it's not about your qualification. I'll say it this way. You can write this one down. It's not about your qualification. It's about your surrender. Glory to God. That's what he's looking for. He's not checking qualifications. He's looking for a surrendered heart. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a mature heart towards him, perfect heart towards him. Those that know their God, they will be strong. They will do exploits. See, he's wanting us to be able to receive more of him so that he can flow through us, so he can release through us the glory that he deposited, the glory that he crowned us with from the beginning. See, when he made man, man was crowned with glory. And see, I'm trying to get us to hear this, to think about it from this perspective. He crowned us. What our crown goes on your head, is that correct? So this is what you should be thinking about. He crowned us with glory and honor. Hallelujah. He didn't tell us to go out and earn it, to cause ourselves to think we can deserve it. He said he crowned us with it. Your victory has already been given to you. Oh, I hope you hear me. We're going to get into some of that tonight. But in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul was letting you know that even he thought this way, but it's not going to stop God's move because you have a bad thought. Amen. Let's look at this. Starting at verse 8. Oh, Lord. See, I keep backing up because I the other things. Let's start at verse 7 so we can go on through this thing. It says, whereof, because of the things that he previously stated here, I was made a minister. It didn't say I earned my way to ministry. It said what? I was made a minister according to the gift of grace. Was it according to his abilities? This is the same Paul over here just a minute ago in chapter 2. He said that we are saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. See? So Paul is expanding that statement that he made in chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. See? And verse 10, which says, because we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them. Not that we should tremble at them. Come on, y'all. He didn't say so that we can be arguing with the fact that we deserve it. He said, no. These are preordained steps, the gift of grace. This is a preordained step that you should walk in it. It didn't say that you might walk in it, did it? It said that you should. So the expectation from God's standpoint is that you should walk in this grace. Amen. See, and I know sometimes we argue with the plan of God, with the word of God, because we're still too busy being reminded of what we did that was a shortfall. God in heaven. When you see that, we all quote it, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He said that so that we can enter into the place he called us to, that being freely justified. You do know what the word justified means, don't you? It means just as if I'd never sinned, justified. Okay? Wasn't because you did it and deserved it, earned it and can now walk in it. It's because he wanted it for you, period. This is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance, to change your ways, change your thinking. When you change your thinking, you'll change your results. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He said, let this mind be in you, not another mind, not the old man. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who did not think it robbery to be called equal with God. But he didn't make himself of a reputation. So it's not about what you did, is it? He made himself of no reputation. Zero, nada, zip. Okay? So it's going to require the humility, because when you surrender, amen, he's not looking for your credentials. He's looking for your surrender. Okay? That's what this is all about. At the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus surrendered. Not my will, but your will be done. It was surrender. Because in weakness, his strength is made perfect. When you surrender, you would be vulnerable or weak. Is that correct? See? So he wants you to be in a position of surrender. The heart is what he's looking for. The heart of surrender. Not that you would be stuck. Okay, maybe that's what has happened to us. We think that surrender means that I don't have any way of winning. No, when you surrender, you guarantee your victory. Because the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's. So it says that I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me. The gift of God that was given to me. So then if I am not willing to use the gift, I cannot fulfill my calling, can I? I'm operating in reverse pride. If he gave it to you, and he did, he wants you to use it. He expects you to use it, doesn't he? He gave it to you so that it would benefit your life. The word blessed means empowered to prosper. He has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Didn't say he will, it said he has blessed you. Past tense. According to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working. So then if the power is not working, you're having a challenge believing that the gift was for you to walk in. I hope you can see how we're unfolding these promises. He wants you, expects you to walk in victory. Because as you walk in victory, people that are caught up in situations and circumstances that they cannot win, they'll wonder how you did it. And you'll be able to tell them, it wasn't me, but it was Christ in me. That's my hope of glory. That's the supply that he's given me. Well, you're the only one? No. He's going to show you here. Watch this. Okay. Verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles. Amen. That means the people that did not have a covenant with God. The Jews were under covenant with God, but the Gentiles are being grafted in. They were adopted. That's the spirit that he gave you, and it cries, Abba, Father, First Daddy. Okay? So he's reaching out. He wants our life to be a let your good works be seen among men so that they can change their conversation, that they would glorify God. They'll see there is a way out of this mess. You mean this is not the Democratic Party that's going to get me out of this? This is not the Republican Party that's going to get me out of this? This is not the Independent Party that's going to get me out of this? It is a free gift of God. God does not need to go, he's no longer wanting us to go through other people to get to him. We used to have to do the bulls and the goats to try to get to God. But now there is one path to get to him, the man, Christ Jesus. See? He's made it simple. I don't have to wait for the priest to be in the inside the holy place, because he only went there once a year. He only went there once a year. So that means I'm going to be stuck with my mess for a year. No, God set it up so that through Jesus, you can get it immediately. Whatever the access, you can get it, because they that call upon the name of the Lord, whoso calleth upon the name of the Lord shall, not might be, shall, absolute imperative, shall be delivered. Unto me is less than all the saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the, make known, declare, preach, live. Yeah, please understand that preaching is not just from the pulpit, but preaching is what you do every day in your walk. That people see your good works, they glorify God. See? And people that are hurting and confused, they need to see out of that darkness that they've been shrouded in. They need to see their way out. You will be the only Bible that some people will see. They should be able to see your good works, read your testimony as you walk it out day by day. See, that's what we want to do here. We want to equip you so that you can walk the life that God said you should have, those preordained steps. He said you should walk in them. Amen. That's how real this is. He needs your testimony to be established and seen. He needs your testimony to be established and seen. That you will know that that's why you were called. That is your divine purpose. And then you simply start doing it. Let people see that. See? I don't have to try to lift myself up. My testimony speaks when I'm not even there. Amen. That's what it says. That even after Abel killed him, the Bible says that his blood was speaking, crying from the grave. See? Enoch was taken, and he had a testimony, the Bible says, before he was taken, that he pleased God. See, the testimony speaks. I have never met Esau, but yet his testimony is speaking. God needs your testimony to be developed, to be released. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see. What is the mystery of the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, this is why he did it, that something can happen now, today, to the intent that now, unto the principalities, now unto the powers in heavenly places, that it might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to what? His eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is his eternal purpose. Jump straight through the end. He wanted the testimony to be seen. He wanted you to give witness of the goodness of God and preach that, declare that, show that to the Gentiles, to those that you work with, to those that you come in contact with on a daily basis. to the intent that it might be made known to principalities and powers. He says he wanted all of them to know what the manifold wisdom of God was, and he wants it to be known by the church. Usins, the called out ones. And then you will keep on reading down, and he'll show you and talk to you about all of the things that he's purposed. And then he says in verse 22, as a summation, now unto him who is able to do exceeding, I love this, he's able to do exceeding abundantly. I have always thought that they were separated. No, it is an adjective to the first thing that he said. He said, we're going to function in under the power of God that is exceeding abundantly. Not two different issues. The continuation that the exceeding is going to be abundant. It's going to be big and forever. It's going to be big and in your face. It's going to be big and unhidden, flowing, moving. This is faith on the move and grace in action. Exceeding abundant. See? I would always think that you can stop at exceedingly. No, you can't stop in this scripture at exceedingly because it's exceeding abundant. See? There is abundant, and he said, I want you to think about exceeding abundant. Exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Wow. This is what he wants you to walk in. This is the invitation that's in front of you for every situation, for every trial. This is the power that works in you, that you have a grace that is exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. You, to the full and overflowing. Okay? You have more grace than you can ever have challenges. I'll say it again. You have an exceeding abundantly manifest grace more than you have any challenge, frustration, anxiety, or fear. Now, he's able to do that. The challenge, I guess, would be, will we let him? Or will we just continue to just bellyache and say, well, I don't know how to do that. Psalms 107, verse 20. Everything I said before was like my introduction, okay? This is the text that I want to get to and study. Psalms 107, verse 20. And again, I ask you to get pencil and paper so that you can write down the scriptures so that you can go back and study. God is no respecter of persons. If he showed me, he wants to show you. Amen. This is not my profession. This is my life. Okay? In fact, that's the way the scripture says it. Make my calling and election sure. This is my thing that I speak of all the time, profession. Originally in the text, what I professed was the words that were coming out of my mouth, not the actions that I did. Because the actions that I do come out of the words that I speak. Okay, make sure you get that. The things that I do come as a result of the words that I speak. If I limit myself, then I'm only going to do that which other people say I can do. I'll say that again. If I limit myself, I can only do the things that other people say I can do. But when I take the limitations off, because I know that there is an exceeding abundantly manifest grace for me, and it works in me, It said according to the power that works in us. If the power is not working in you, I'll just make sure you get it. If the power is not working in you, it's not going to be able to work for you. That's why we don't have to try to ask God, beg God to do something. He's given us an exceeding abundantly manifest grace. If I let it work in me. You are unstoppable when you let it work in you. Because that which is on the inside, whatever's in the heart in abundance comes out in your life. That's what Jesus said. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth goes to moving. Why? Because the victory God has placed in your profession. He's placed it in the things that you say. And if you allow people to put words in your mouth and they tell you, you can't do this, and then you repeat and rehearse those words, then as you have said, as you have spoken, so be it unto you. It's now time for us to take off the muzzle, if you would, that the world has put on there because they didn't understand God. Just because they didn't understand the power, why should that negate the power from working in your life? As a question, I will ask you, do you function on the breath of other people, or do you function on the breath that you take? Amen. See? But what we've done is we've allowed ourselves to function on the breath statement of other people. See? God says, if you got a breath, let me tell you what you should do with that breath. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. What does that mean? That means that my breath should come from heaven and go back to heaven as a praise. My breath should not go to heaven as a frustration. Amen. It should not go back to heaven as an accusation. They did this. They said that. Are you living on your breath, or are you living on the breath of another? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That's a one-on-one relationship. That's what that describes to me. Amen. See? He gave you the ability to live off of your own breath. I mean, I don't accept an emergency. And that's in drowning, I probably don't ever want nobody else's breath in my body. The only exception that I can see is, okay, well, we'll say it that way. Let's take that example and just kind of make it cement it. The only reason that I'm trying to live on someone else's breath is because I'm operating in a dead position. Amen. The person that does CPR on you, they are coming to your assistance because you were manifesting dead operations. Amen. So at that point, someone else's breath is used to help me. That's the only time. Because God made you to live off of your own breath. He wants you to live off of an inspired breath. Inspiration means divine breath. It was in spirit breathed. Inspiration. It didn't say it was going to be a thought, did it? Come on, y'all help me. Spirit always refers to breath. In spirit, breathe, inspiration. It was not a good feeling that he was talking about. Sometimes our feelings are lying to us. I don't know, maybe you've never experienced that, but I've experienced my feelings lying to me. They told me that this is what was happening because that's the way I felt about it. It was no more true than the rock that flies up. See? I didn't say the rock that was thrown up. I said the rock that flies up. And you know good and well, rocks don't fly up. Gravity kicks in, and that rock sits there. But if I would allow the word of God that was real, it is in spirit breathed. So now I can live off of that. I was created by it. See? But I was not created for me to live on someone else's breath, someone else's statement. Amen. Boy, I hope this is getting in there. See, so that we can stop allowing the enemy to shut us down because somebody said, you can't do that. Well, I have been given an exceeding abundantly inspired word. And that word was sent to heal me. Psalms 107, verse 20. It said, and he sent his word. Please circle the word sent. That is a past tense application of what has happened. He sent his word, and that word that was sent for healing and deliverance from destruction. Okay? Let's just make sure we get this. He sent his word, and this sent word had the purpose of healing and deliverance from whatever was destroying me. All right, let's do it this way. Sickness and disease is death in slow motion. That's all it is. So if I'm functioning and my body is in a sickly manner, the only thing that sickness is doing is causing death to occur slowly. Okay? So then he sent the word to stop that process from operating in my life. He sent his word to heal and to deliver. I almost always say that deliverance is a two-part application. Deliverance can only happen when you move from here to there. If I don't move from here to there, I'm not delivered yet. I'm in the process. Amen. I appreciate that. But for deliverance to be complete, I got to leave there. When you take your mail to the post office and they deliver it, they take it from the post office to the address on the letter. Otherwise, that exchange never happened because the letter didn't arrive at the point that it was supposed to be delivered to. Deliverance has to be twofold. So if I never leave Egypt, I can never arrive in Canaan. If I don't leave the bad darkness, I cannot walk in the promised land. He sent his word to heal them and deliver them from their destructions. He put an S on destruction, didn't he? So that means it was not limited to one thing. It is available for anything that is destroying. See? So since it's in us that way, then that means the power that can work in us opens up the exceeding abundantly designed grace for that situation. Please, let's look at that. Work with that. Put that inside your spirit so that you can say, okay, good, good. I have been supplied with an exceedingly, abundantly amount of grace for any situation. My challenge does not live big around me. That's what circumstances are. Things circled around you, standing against you. Okay? the things circling around you are not bigger than the God that is in you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. See? These are promises that he made so that you can walk in them, so that you can fulfill them. Okay? So your victory was sent. Your victory has already been granted. God now needs us to get busy. And we know sometimes we don't recognize the form of the victory that it appears in. Because Isaiah chapter 55 says it that way, verses 10 through 11. See, sometimes we don't understand that my victory appears to me in a different form. Let's look at that. Isaiah 55, 10 through 11. He says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but it waters the earth, and makes the earth bring forth and bud." Okay, please. It says, and this is talking about his word. This is talking about an idea and a thought that God is going to give you. Thoughts come down from heaven. Your victory comes in thought process. Because as a man thinketh, that's where you find the man. So is he. So if I think I can't, so is he. But if I know that the thought for my victory came from heaven, then he said it cannot return without doing the purpose. Does not return thither. But it watereth the earth and it maketh it bring forth and bud. I told you before that it's an interesting word there, earth, because earth represents the heart. And if you take the H that's at the back of earth and put it at the front of the word that you had as earth, you will see that that spells heart. And it says that the word, that the thoughts that come down from heaven, they will water the heart and they will make the heart bring forth and bud, because the substance that was necessary for your victory is already in you. You have this treasure in earthen vessels. He who begun a good work in you, he's faithful to complete it. The works already, the seeds already on the inside. And he says that when this process is active, it will give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. His word will provide your tomorrow and take care of your today. Seed that is sown for your tomorrow. But God didn't forget about your bread for today. He says in verse 11, "This is the way my word shall be. When it goes out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall, absolute imperative, accomplish that which I please, and it shall, absolute imperative, prosper in the heart, in the thing whereunto I sent it." See, Jesus has expectation, and it goes unto henceforth in front of you from now on. See? So our faith must go beyond the little bit that we can grab today. He's going to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. It's got to go past and way beyond the little bit I can grab today. Because when you have a word that's active, Jeremiah 12:1-12 says that the Lord said to me, "Thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. I will watch over my word to perform it." Once it's active and has been released out of your mouth, then I will watch over that word. That promise will not fall. I will watch over it to perform it. And he does that in the Jesus does that for us in prayer. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 7, 24 and 25. It's talking about Jesus, who is a high priest, and he's the high priest of our confession, beloved. He's the high priest of the things that you say. Amen. You got to know this. He's the high priest of your words. So then why would I expect the high priest to function on the words of the enemy for me? I keep messing up and saying all the things I can't. So then I didn't give him his right position, did I? Because I don't have words that came from heaven. He said the way it works is like my word that comes down from heaven. See? It does not come up from the earth. It comes down from heaven. There's a wisdom that comes up from the earth. It does not descend from heaven. It's trying to ascend. And why that is because the devil said, I will ascend unto the throne of God. So any words, any thoughts that's coming up are going to be words that's trying to ascend. And God says his word descends, comes from him to you. A lot of times we pray what we want. That means we're trying to take that word and make it ascend. Is that correct? Do you see that? See? We're trying to take a word that's in us and make it go to heaven and become effective instead of hearing a word from heaven and then let it live, because the word that is spoken from heaven is going to bring forth and bud. Maketh the heart bring forth and bud, that it will give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So then you have these thoughts that don't necessarily give you bread today. Come on now, that's good. You have these thoughts that don't produce anything today. But God says his word is going to take care of your tomorrow, and he's going to take care of your today in the same time. See? And he watches over that word that he sent to you. And what was that word supposed to do when he sent it to you? It's supposed to heal and deliver. See? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. But this man, Jesus, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is also able to save them. He's save and deliver is the same word. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto him by God, unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. He's watching over those words that he sent from heaven. He continually prays. He watches over his word. He hastens his word to perform it. See? He wants you to function in that. So he has a word and an expectation that goes into henceforth, goes into forever. I'm trying to get you to see the prophetic power of the word of God. See? The prophetic power takes a word and causes it no longer to just be a promise, but to be a way of life for you. Jesus said that my words abide in you, and you abide in my words. That's prophetic exchange. Then you'll ask what you will, and it'll be given, be done unto you. So God has sent your victory. It's already been granted. And he just wants you to begin to operate in that revelation, that truth. Let that grow in your spirit. More and more and more. Understand the exceeding abundantly that God has called you into. See? So, the resident power of the word we talked about last week. And you can see that in 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 14 through 21, I believe it is. 2 Kings, chapter 13, verses 14 to 21. Resident power. It doesn't matter to God that you haven't used the promise in a while, because the promise brings to you resident power. You heard it last year, but you didn't do anything with it because you didn't understand it. But remember, he said the word makes the earth bring forth and bud. It became an involuntary operation. Okay? So then, just because it's resident in you, see, you can utilize it anytime you need to. Verse 14 says, now Elisha was fallen sick of the sickness wherewith he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. He says, you are the one that causes things to work. You are the one that makes things move. You're the chariot of Israel. You're the horsemen thereof. And the reason the imagery comes to us about the horsemen, because the horsepower is greater than man's power. Okay? In fact, he wanted the man, father, he wanted him to be placed in the chariot. Not the one supplying the power, but the one utilizing the power. And Elijah immediately talked to him. Well, we can't see because we don't study and think about it from these perspectives. But Elijah was sick. But as the prophet, there's a resident power on the inside of him. And he doesn't want to die with that power not being released into the earth. You should be the same way. There is resident power, anointing on the inside of you. And you should make sure that you don't go to your grave full. You should go to your grave empty, making sure that everything God wanted to get done can get done through you, because you are always releasing the anointing. He came to him and he just said, Father, Father, chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And then that stirring of those words made Elijah say, let's do something. And Elijah said to him, take the bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. He said, become effective in it. Go to using it. He just don't put them, just because you got the power doesn't mean that's going to be your answer. He said, the power has to be used. Implementation has to take place here. He said, put the bows and arrows in your hand. And so he put them in his hands, and then Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. He was putting the power of agreement into effect, wasn't he? He was also transferring the anointing. Okay? Please notice that the residue of what you transfer is greater than the challenges that you can face. The residue of what you transfer. That's why he's interested in sacrifice. Because he says stuff like, give, and what will happen? It'll be given unto you. And Elisha put his hands on the king's hand, and he said, open the window eastward. Notice there was a direction here. So then that tells me that the anointing becomes so specific that it can be directed to situations, circumstances, and challenges in your life. Amen. That's why he says stuff like, lay your hands on those that are sick. You are focusing the anointing as you release it. That focused anointing causes victory for those that you intercede for. So then he said, open the window eastward. I remember one time I was praying and interceding, and it became kind of fervent. And then I recognized or heard and sensed that this particular prayer was for someone that was in the north of the city here. I mean, I can say, boom, that's going to Marietta. I mean, I knew it. I just knew it. And I said, wow, wow, Lord, you know, why did you show me that? Again, the anointing can be released on purpose towards a situation, circumstance, hurt, harm, whatever. It can be directed. Otherwise, Elisha would have never told him to open the window eastward. He could have just said, fling open the windows. But he said, no, specifically eastward. And he opened it. Then Elijah said, shoot. And he shot. And as he shot, the prophet said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And the arrow of deliverance from Syria. The arrow has a tip to it. A spear kind of action. A thing that will pierce, as the Bible says, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing. See? So he says, as you have obeyed, as you have received the anointing, there's a transfer. And now, as you shoot, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. The arrow of deliverance of Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek until thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice. And he stopped. And the man of God was wroth and said, thou should have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then thou hast smitten Syria until thou hast consumed it. Whereas now, thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Because he told him in verse 17 that the arrow, the atmosphere, okay, he shot it into the air. So he just changed the air around the problem. Okay, since, ooh, Lord, that's good. Since the problem is surrounding you, God's going to surround the problem because he's speaking into the atmosphere that the problem is seated in, that is resting in. Wow. The problem that's surrounding you, God is changing the atmosphere that the problem is in. Did you get that? Whew. See? I mean, he wants to do so much for us because you have been assigned to walk in that exceeding abundantly grace. In other words, a grace that surrounds your circumstances. Come on, y'all. Preach myself happy right there. And he said, you should have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then what I told you would come true because you are you're surrounding them. Come on, y'all. You are surrounding the problem that's surrounding you. You are making a connection all the way around you. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in, and they are safe. A tower is an edifice that completely encompasses the one on the inside. And he said, if you would have smitten the ground 5 or 6 times, then you'd have smitten Syria until thou hast consumed it. But now, you ain't going to get but 3 victories. And then Elisha died, and they buried him in the bands of the Moabites. They buried the man of God, and the fight got stronger. And the band of Moabites invaded the land at the coming of the year. And it came to pass that as one man got killed, and they were burying that man in verse 21, that behold, a spy of a band of men they saw. And so they said, well, we can't take the man to back to home with us. So they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elijah. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood up on his feet. Wait a minute. We're talking about an anointing that has resident power. You see what I'm saying? Resident power. Elijah was buried. And they were just going to put the man in there because they couldn't carry him any further and then get away for themselves. And as soon as the man's feet touched the bones of Elijah, wow. And he revived. Wow. And they saw that God is a God that can deliver by the residue of his anointing. Because all that happened is they came in contact with the anointing after the anointing was no longer in use. It was residue. I mean, we just got to get to the point, because he, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So it wasn't that Elisha had to be saying this or doing that. He gives us the power. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, but to as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God, even those that believe on his name. See, he places his anointing there. He gives power to become sons. See? And that word that you have heard, that word is a word that is an incorruptible seed. And it lives and it abides forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. That's what it says. The word that he sent to us is a living word that lives and abides forever. So even though the anointing was seen and manifest in Elisha's life, it didn't stop being there because the deposit was there. And you were born again by this same power, not of incorruptible seed, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's why he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. He didn't say it would be done for you, did it? He said it would be done unto you. Okay. The difference between being done for you is that can be a one-time exchange. You go to the bank and you get out $20. That's $20 that was given to you or for you. And when you spend up to $20, that's got. That's all you got. But he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that word that is a living and abiding forever, he says, then you'll ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. Glory to God. Because then out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. Do you see what I'm saying? It's just a little different than just getting a prayer answered one time and that's it. No, no, no. He's going to perpetuate this in your life because it abides. This is an abiding word. If you abide in him and his words abide in you, then you'll have a different conversation. You'll ask what you will. Notice limitations were taken off right here. He didn't say, you'll ask some things that you might really want real bad. Because, see, first of all, Jesus knows what you need before you even ask. See? Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 say that. That your heavenly Father knows what things you desire, what things you need before you ask them. He already knows that. And when you start abiding in his word, then my conversation is no longer a begging structure. Amen. I can ask whatever I will now. And I know that it shall be done unto me. We are the vessel, okay? And so God wants to fill the vessel, you, so that you can continue to draw from the vessel the things that you need. Okay? You won't have to try to go and have someone to intercede on your behalf so that maybe we can get something done. See, if I'm abiding there, then I know I am the vessel. He pours into the vessel. He continues to make the vessel. This is what he wants to do. The Bible says he wants to fill me up. Amen. Did he not say, be filled with the Holy Ghost? He didn't say, have a real good a portion of the Holy Ghost. He said, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the vessel that's full continually releases what's necessary for this, that, or the other. Whatever the situation is, doesn't matter. The anointing is going to destroy. That's what his job is. The anointing is not going to break yokes. I'm sorry if nobody says it. The anointing destroys. Now turn over to Isaiah 10:27 so that you can see this. I just want, like I say, these are scriptures that are there so that we would know how to use them. Okay? Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulders, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. He's going to remove it so that it doesn't function anymore. See? He's going to remove it off of your shoulders. His yoke is going to be removed off of your neck. And the yoke that used to cause you issues, used to stop you, used to frustrate you, he said that yoke, as it is removed, let's try it again, y'all. Again, I'm not looking for broken yokes. I'm looking for yokes that are removed and destroyed. Is that not what this says? It shall come to pass in that day that the burden shall be taken away from thy shoulder. That is removed. Is that correct? It's going to be removed from my shoulder. His yoke is going to be removed from my neck. It's, again, we're talking about something that's removed. I mean, I've heard people say, you know, a lot, they don't break the yoke or break the yoke. Well, I'm sorry. He didn't promise me a broken yoke. He promised me a removed, destroyed yoke. Same thing he told the children of Israel when they were leaving, and Egypt said he just took care of the Egyptians in the water at the Red Sea. He said, the Egyptians that you see today, you will see no more forever. That's a removed yoke, isn't it? That's not a broken yoke. And then once it is removed, now with my eyes, I'm going to see that removed yoke destroyed. In other words, it will not come back and frustrate me anymore. A destroyed yoke does not have any more ability to function in my life. The circumstances that were there, he's going to take them off of my shoulder, off of my neck, and he's going to destroy them. Amen. See, but I have to want to follow the processes of God. Instead of trying to just, well, I heard this. No, go to your word and discover it by reading. And then the Holy Spirit has the job that he said, the Holy Spirit, when he's come, he shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatever Jesus has said. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to lead you into the truth. He's going to show you things to come and give you power. I'll close it right here. Just turn to John chapter 14. Write it down. 14:26, 15:26, 16:13, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Okay? This is the fivefold job description, if you would, of the Holy Ghost. Okay? This is the grace. This is fivefold. This is the grace that the Holy Ghost functions in, invites you into, so that you can win every time. All right? 14:26, 15:26, 16:13, and Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Okay? Say it one more time. 14:26, 15:26, 16:13, and Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let's read them. 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So that there's no confusion. We're talking about who? The Holy Ghost. Whom the Father will send in my name. He shall, this is job description number one. He shall teach you all things. He's not going to teach you some things. He's going to teach you all things. And you know, when I saw this, I was working I was a custodian at a church, and I was working for them, and they told me that they gave me this buffer that I had never seen a buffer in my life. And they said, this buffer is so that you can make this floor here, you can refresh it and make it shine like it was just a day it was waxed. Okay? I said, okay. They left. And I say, okay, God, what do we do with this machine? And when I turned the machine on, that machine ran away from me, if you would. I didn't know how to operate it. And so then I say, okay, now I can't do the floor. I'm going to tie up this doggone place down here because the machine keeps running away from me. It'll go to the left every time. Just go to the left. And so then I said, okay, I'm gonna get the job done because you told me to do it. So then I would take my hip and, you know, put it on the side of the thing and run the machine into my hip at the top. That would let me control the front of it. And so I did it, and I found a way to get that that flow buff that day. It was a big size flow, a conference kind of room. So I got it done. Oh, I was tired. I was hurting. And so they say, you're going to do that once a week minimally, and it's going to be done in all of the other rooms that we have that have resilient floor in them. I said, man, okay, yes, thank you, thank you. And I said, God, you got to show me something then, because I can't make this. This is not doable because I'm wrestling with this thing. And you said your yoke is easy, your burden is light. So then this can't be what you want from me. So I said, okay, what do I do? And he started showing me how to execute movements for that machine. I became very proficient at it when I took the word and said, you will lead me into what? He shall teach me all things. Is a buffer a thing? So by definition, he has said he will teach me all things. By definition, job description. And so then as I began to pray, Lord knows I was praying in tongues trying to get that thing done because I needed revelation. I knew that. So then he would show me and tell me, and I would do it. And then I got to the point where I can handle that machine with two fingers. All right? I got real good there. Then I said, well, Lord, I'm having an issue because the way we're doing this is I go through about five pads every time I do it. Then I have to clean the pads, and it's a lot. I said, Lord, is there? And he said, well, did you ask? I'll show you. And he showed me how to do it a different way. And so then when I would get through with the pad now, one pad was going to take up the dirt and cut all of the sand and stuff up. And then the next pad was going to go on and finish the job. And when I got through, it took me about 10 minutes to do the whole side, the whole thing. And I used the one pad, went back over with the second pad. When I took the second pad off, as opposed to it being black, I could still read the white writing on the red pad. And if I would take it and hit it up beside the wall outside, then all of the little white wax that we were spraying down would come off. That pad now was just like a new pad. I was going through five pads every time I did the floor. I'm down to two pads, and one of them is brand new again because I did it under the unction of God. So that means that I can now extend the life of the pads that I was doing. Because once time you just sit them in the thing and soak them and wait for them to get out, I popped it on the wall, y'all, and all of the residue came off. I'm reading on the red pad, the white writing that was there from when you purchased it, after I had used it throughout all of the rooms that I had to do. This is him teaching me all things. Keep reading. And if that wasn't good enough, he will bring how many things? Circle the word all both times. He will bring all things to your remembrance, whatever Jesus I have said unto you. 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. See, he's trying to help us here. He's going to send him from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. So that we know he's talking about the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. 16:13. It says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will now guide you into the truth. See, so I'm not just left hearing the truth, hoping it'll work. He said the Holy Spirit's job description is to guide me into the truth. Amen. This is why he wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost, so your life can become easy. So we've got teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance. He's going to then guide you into the truth. Okay? For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever she hears, that shall he speak. And listen to this. And he will show you things to come. That's four things. All right? So that you can see them again. He's going to teach you all things. Bring all things to your remembrance that Jesus has said. He will guide you into the truth, and he will show you things to come. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, so we've got the five things. Teach me all things. Bring all things to my remembrance that Jesus has said. He's going to guide me into the truth, show me things to come, and give me power. So with that understanding, my faith now can be on the move. My grace can now be in action. Because I have now an expectation of victory over and over and over, because all means all, and that's all it means. So it's not just the spiritual things. Yes, he'll do that. But he said all the truth. Guide me into all the truth. He knows the truth about that buffer. That's, I began to ask him by reading that. I said, Lord, you know the truth about that buffer. Show me the truth. Lead me into that. Guide me into the truth of this buffer. See? So then the same thing is applicable in your life. Things that you've been frustrated by. Well, just go back to the fivefold ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the grace of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to win. Every time, all the time. He sent his word to heal you. He sent his word to deliver you from your destruction. The things that are circled around you, standing against you, he's given you an exceeding, abundantly inspiration that the grace of God would be able to, that he's the one that told you he was going to cause you to be the head, not the tail. God said that. He's going to cause you to be above and not beneath. God said that. He brings it to your remembrance so that you can focus on that rather than focus on the things standing around you, because you have more grace than you have challenges. The choice is yours. Your way, or are you going to do it God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and we just bless you that you continue to reveal your word to us, to cause us to grow in faith so that we would then be able to face an enemy. Just like David faced a big thing surrounding him, an army that he by himself could not prevail, but because he knew that you were with him, he wasn't worried about what was standing in front of him. He remembered how Jesus had already showed him that the bear and the lion, they didn't mean nothing to him. And he said, the same God that delivered me out of the hand of the lion, the mouth of the bear, the same God is going to deliver you into my hand this day. And then he ran toward his circumstances because of an abundant supply of exceeding grace. Your way or God's way? Father, we just thank you and bless you again that you've given us victory by your word. You sent your word to heal us and to deliver us. You sent your word with purpose, Father God. So we thank you that we tap into that purpose. We tap into that anointing. so that we can then do things that are pleasing in your sight, that we can do things that we haven't done before because of your grace and your glory that abides in our lives, because a word that you sent is a living word and it lives forever. Thank you for the resident power that remains, that is available to us, your children, today. Committed to you now, it's done in Jesus' mighty name. And the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, as I stated in the beginning, if you have any questions or comments about the ministry, words of encouragement, questions of because you didn't think that I said it correctly, whichever way, we're here to grow, beloved. So area code 678-521-0933. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? 678-521-0933. Again, 678-521-0933. You have the mic. Any comments or questions? Area code 404-536-7829. Any questions or comments about the ministry today? 404-536-7829. You have the mic.
Yes, I enjoyed how you explained what you don't have to keep listening to as far as talking about you can't do it or whatever. I really was able to apply that to a lot of things in my life, and I appreciate it.
Amen. We're glad to have you on the call. Glad to have you on the call. And one of the things that we do is we are not trying to put you on the spot. That's why we use your phone number, because everybody doesn't know your phone number. So then they don't know that it was you asking a question or making a comment. So then you can, this gives you the anonymity to go ahead and stir up, because the Bible says iron sharpens iron. And so then that's the thing that becomes good, because all we're doing is having a time of sharing so that we can be sharpened by one another. Area code 404-295-5820. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight?
Well, I just enjoyed the ministry. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, John.
Okay, this is Josie. I just wanted to say I enjoyed the ministry always when I can get online and not working. I try to catch and make it stay to the end. But thank you for your letting the Lord use you. And there were some good examples of how when you were talking about how you let the Lord show you, gave you the answer to how to do your job, and he gave you the wisdom to know how to finish it, how to do it. So I appreciate that knowledge that you just shared. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for being on the call. And again, if you miss any of the calls, you can go to the website, livedeliverance.com, and look for the Blog Talk radio section, Pastor Steve Lee, and all of the teachings that I've done for the last, 11 years, on this broadcast. They're there, they're available, and you can just take your time, you can rewind, you can take notes, you can make those confessions that are necessary so that we can end up in the place of victory together, because there's not going to be another one-person translation. There's not going to be another one of those. Enoch was the one, and now he's going to get us all at the same time. But we're all going to have to walk together in unity so that that can happen. Walk together in the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. That's what it says. It's not going to be walking in the knowledge of your church, your denomination, your way of thinking. It's going to have to be unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. Again, thank you for being on the broadcast tonight. And if the Lord is moving on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, then you simply go to the website and find the donate tab and execute the faith that God is stirring up on the inside of you. And again, he's not looking for the big me. He's looking simply for sacrifice, because when we have sacrifice, he can then bless, because your emptiness is going to allow him to fill that space. that void. Okay? So you just go to livesdeliverance.com and look for the donate tab and be obedient to the Lord. And until the next time that we can get together, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Now, just to remind you that next week is a holiday, and the station is not going to be here on September the 3rd. It's not going to be, we'll nobody be in the house. So we'll see you on the, is that the 12th? Yes, we'll see you on the 12th of September. So until the next time, be blessed. Shalom.